That's good. Well, no, my name is Scott Farrell. I am privileged to be one of the pastors here at WBF, and I am honored to meditate on the Word of God with you this morning. If you'll go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn to Proverbs 1. Proverbs is right after the Psalms, which is about the middle of your Bible. Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to be in verses 7 through 9 today. And while you're turning there, I want to show you something. This is a rose, certainly, that is given today in honor of all of the mothers who are here. But I also want to say that this is for some very specific people. This is in honor of my own mom, and also in honor of your mom. Because that's what we're going to be focusing on today, is the relationship that you have with your mom. And so we're going to be looking at the wisdom of Solomon today. We're going to learn from the wisdom of Solomon as we hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to him through him in light of our mothers today about what it means to be a godly son or daughter. And here's what we're going to find out. I'm giving you the big idea of today's passage right up front. The big idea today is that the foundation for wisdom is a reverential fear of God, and ideally, our very first teachers of godly wisdom are both of our parents. And so here's Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. The word of the Lord. Well, I want to share with you a few things that my mom taught me. Did your mom ever say this to you? It takes two to tango. It takes two to tango. Here's something else she said to me every morning as I got ready for school and I was heading out the door. She would say, make it a good day. Make it a good day, because you see, she was teaching me that I had a whole lot more to do with the kind of day I was about to have than anybody else or anything else. Take it one day at a time. Do your best. Make your bed every day. I'm sorry, Leslie, but she taught me those things. I didn't say I learned them. Always go to church and get involved. Work hard and do the right thing. Love God. These are just a few of the things that my mom taught me. And her lessons, of course, go a whole lot deeper than these kinds of platitudes. She went home to the Lord just a little over 2 years ago, but her impact on my life even now is immeasurable. And many of us today have our own list of valuable lessons from our mothers. And some of you children who are in the room right now are learning them. Every day with your parents, with your mothers. And by the way, when I say mother, I mean everybody from our biological moms to our adoptive mothers and the aunts and grandmothers and even sisters who've stepped in to fulfill that role for some of us. But some of our mothers, like mine, were or are loving and caring and wise, not just in a worldly sense, but they're also wise in a godly way. By the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, their love for us is uncannily always expressed at just the right time, in just the right way, with a compassion and mercy and even discipline that consistently depicts the character and nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, not all of us have had mothers like that. Some of our mothers were unable to demonstrate the character and nature of God simply because they didn't know our Lord. Many of us in this room today are still trying to sort out how to be a godly son or daughter in light of who our mothers were or are. But you know, regardless of who they were, what does it mean to be a godly son or daughter? No matter how old or young we are, we all have a mother, as John Seller said earlier. And so, as Christians, this ought to be a central question for us. And that's because family is at the foundation of our lives. Family is so important that God defines our relationship with mom and dad in the fifth commandment. This is what God says in Exodus 12. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. But you know, of course, honoring our parents might be a bitter pill for some of us to swallow. We live in a fallen world. The family has been corrupted by sin. But God wants us to understand that the fifth commandment still stands because of His great power and holiness. God wants you to honor your mother. And that's because your mom holds a place of honor in God's eyes. And God makes no exceptions based on her behavior or character. This is a command for sons and daughters that we would honor God by honoring the structure and the roles that He established for the family. In other words, our attitude and behavior toward our mothers and fathers should reflect our love for God, whether we're old or young. This is something that Solomon understood. He understood that living according to God's holiness requires a great deal of wisdom. And so the Holy Spirit compelled him to write Proverbs in order to teach especially young people about godly wisdom and how to live accordingly. This is what the first six verses of Proverbs are about. Solomon's desire is that we would know wisdom and instruction to understand words of insight, as he says in verse 2. And so Solomon and the other authors of Proverbs, they're not just providing these lessons for young children, though. Those who are already mature have a whole lot to learn, too, as we see this in verse 5. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. These lessons are for absolutely everybody. And so as we dig into verses 7 through 9, this is what we're going to see. Number one, in verse 7, we're going to see that the foundation of wisdom is our reverential fear of God, or to put it another way, God is the source of all wisdom. And secondly, in verse 8, we're going to see that our teachers of wisdom ideally ought to be our mom and dad. And then third, in verse 9, we will see the great reward of wisdom, and that's joy. And so let's go ahead and take a look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." This is where we see our first point, the foundation of wisdom, which is a reverential fear of God. The first six verses, Solomon told us he wants us to gain wisdom. So in verse 7, which is actually the big idea for the whole book of Proverbs, we find out the source of wisdom. And perhaps surprisingly, we find out that our life's experiences are not the source of wisdom. You see, in our culture, we think that experience is the source of wisdom. Leonardo da Vinci said famously that wisdom is the daughter of experience. The other way of saying that is that experience is the father of wisdom. It's true that experience does teach us some things. I remember the day that our oldest son was born, and I realized how much experience I lacked, let me tell you. And I can look back and I can see how much becoming a father taught me. But let's think about this. Does true wisdom really come from our experiences? Well, if you look at what Solomon says here, he couldn't disagree more. Sure, we can learn some things from our experiences. But what we learn and what we do with those lessons depends on a wisdom that has existed since before time began. A wisdom that will exist forever. It's not a wisdom that's manufactured by our finite experiences and our unreliable feelings. This is what Solomon is teaching us. He explains where wisdom really comes from. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. We can use those words interchangeably here. To put it another way, our reverential fear of God is the essence of wisdom. Reverential fear means that we have the most profound respect for God. We hold Him in the highest esteem possible, and we bow in submission to Him because He is the source of all wisdom, among many other things. Romans 11, verses 33 and 34 says, "Oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments, and how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor?" And by the way, here's what God thinks of man's wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is folly with God. And so what Solomon is teaching us is that real wisdom is impossible without God. Without God's help, it's not possible to know what our experiences mean or how to handle them. And so we turn to God for wisdom about life, how to handle that situation at work or at home or with our friends. But the way of the world is to reject God's wisdom for our own wisdom. Solomon says it best in verse 7. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. A person who rejects God is the very definition of a fool, because a fool rejects God's wisdom and instruction too. How many of us can remember our days before we knew Christ when we thought that lashing out at people was the right and wise thing to do? Or that looking out for number one was the important thing? Or that taking was better than receiving? How many of us thought that if we let go of our anger, the sins of another person would go unpunished? Or that forgiveness and forgiving was only something that weak people do? You see, our experiences without God is what taught us those things. Our experiences gave birth to a daughter named worldly wisdom. And so a person who doesn't know God thinks experience is the father of wisdom. But as people who bow before God in reverential fear, we are turning to the true father of true wisdom. This is what James was talking about in his letter, the first chapter, verse 5. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. That's a promise. And how does he give it to us? Well, God gives generously his wisdom to us every time we fall on our knees humbly in prayer. Whenever we open our Bibles, our second article of the EFCA Statement of Faith asserts this: the Bible is the ultimate authority by which every realm of human knowledge and endeavor should be judged. And so that means that our experiences must bow with us before the throne of God. It's God's Word that stands in wisdom and judgment over our experiences. God's Word is our ultimate authority because God is our ultimate authority, and as such, we hang on His every word. And so it's when we learn a reverential fear of God that we begin to gain the wisdom that Solomon wants for us, and then the Word of God becomes far more than a rule book or a handbook of platitudes. God's Word becomes this, as Hebrews 4:12 says. It becomes living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's the wisdom of God coming to bear on our lives, on our experiences. God's Word has that power because they are God's words. And as the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, He uses the Bible and the work of Christ to reveal God to us. And then as we begin to really understand who He is, we receive His wisdom. And so God, brothers and sisters, God is the source of all wisdom, not our experiences. And we receive His wisdom through a reverential fear of God. That's our first point. And so we can move on now to our second point in verse 8. Which is that our teachers of wisdom, ideally, should be mom and dad. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of all wisdom, and according to God's design, there are two people at the top of the list who should be introducing us to His wisdom. Verse 8 says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Of the 800 or so Proverbs that are credited to Solomon in the book of Proverbs, this is the first bit of wisdom that Solomon shares with us. This is the thing that's foremost on his mind, that ideally mom and dad should teach us God's wisdom. They are the ones that we sons and daughters should be turning to as the experts on godliness. You can hear the echo of honor your father and mother in what he's saying. He's saying, in effect, to sons and daughters, do you want to be wise in God's eyes? Then listen to your parents. Learn from them. Both your father and your mother are God's instruments of his wisdom in your life. A fool will turn a deaf ear to them, but the one who fears God will listen to both mother and father. And you know, Solomon's also offering a nourishing morsel of wisdom for moms and dads here too. You know, as moms and dads, the best way that we can love our children, well, it's to impart to them the wisdom of God. God should be at the heart of everything that we teach him, teach our children. God should be, but he isn't always, is it? Sometimes we parents forget that. I think that's what part of what Paul was getting at in Ephesians 6:4. He said, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Of course, that goes for mothers too, doesn't it? You know, that's one of the things that I regret most as I look back on raising our boys. Both of our boys are grown now. But I regret those moments when I provoke them. And that was usually because my voice was raised and my face was red and my mind and heart were completely ignorant of the grace that my Lord wanted me to show them. It was in those moments that I forgot my reverence for God, and I showed them a counterfeit God whose anger is kindled without reason. No reason at all. That was usually the case. That's what I was teaching them, a fickle God who just gets angry. And it's an instruction and a teaching that I hope and pray that they both have ignored and forsaken. But the point is that if we want our sons and daughters to walk in godly wisdom, then we've got to model it for them, don't we? We mothers and fathers have got to learn to behave according to our reverential fear of God. Our fear of God will cause us to repent before God, to confess our sins to him and to our children. And that's when our children will have a front row seat to the power of God as the Holy Spirit works in us and actually changes us. But you know, Solomon is speaking in an ideal sense here, isn't he? Embedded in verse 8 is the assumption that mom and dad are God-fearing people, and therefore that they are worthy to teach their sons and daughters about godly wisdom. And even though they might sin on occasion like I did, their fear of God drives them to their knees in confession and repentance. But what if we grew up hearing our mothers say, do as I say, but not as I do. Do as I say, but not as I do. What do we do with our moms and dads who've never bowed before God? What if our parents are the ones who actually introduced us to a life of sin? What about mothers and fathers who've hurt us deeply, whether they know the Lord or not? Is God's wisdom big enough to overcome these things? You know, I remember in the 80s and 90s that D.C. was the murder capital of the United States. This was during a nationwide crack epidemic. And the violence was a lot like what's going on in Chicago today. But the thing that struck me the most during that time was hearing about crack babies. These are babies who were born addicted to crack because their mothers were so hooked on the stuff that they couldn't stop using even after they knew that there was a precious life inside of them. Brothers and sisters, I think that's what it must be like to be born to parents who by example and instruction teach their children the way of wickedness instead of delight in the Lord. Many of us in this room can understand this far more than I can. The world that you were born into was as toxic to your soul as the cocaine was to those poor babies who were born into addiction. Yet all of us were born into sin, weren't we? Just as David says, Psalm 51:5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And so we're all addicted in some sort of way to sin. And our parents are included in that. They're addicted too. And so I imagine that most of us have experienced some kind of hurt from our parents. I know that's true for me. I've had to wrestle with some very real issues with my mom. And out of honor for her, I'm not going to share them with you today. But just as James pointed out, when I asked for God's wisdom, God gave it to me generously. And I believe He'll give you His wisdom too. And the thing that I've learned is that one of the key components to the wisdom of God is grace. Listen to what Ephesians 4:32 says. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Let me read that again. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. That's godly wisdom. And godly wisdom means that we demonstrate the kindness and grace of Christ even to our parents, and for that matter, even to our children. God's grace and power are even bigger than your pain. God's grace and power are even bigger than anything your mother and father might have done or neglected to do. And you know, if our mothers and fathers have failed in teaching us godly wisdom, then our own reverential fear of God reminds us that we have a heavenly Father who will never fail us. I think Paul states the issue well when he speaks of the Jews in Romans 3:3. He says, "What if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God?" And then we hear David proclaim in Psalm 86, "But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." And so God our Father is truly faithful, and He cares for you. And His faithfulness is never nullified by anybody's sin. And that makes us read verse 7 of our passage in a whole new light. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. God is merciful and gracious, and He's full of steadfast love, which is to say that God is reliable and true to the end. He's also faithful, which is to say that He'll keep all of His promises to you in a way that is true to His holy character. And since God your Father is all of those things, brothers and sisters, He is worthy of your reverent fear. And you can be 100% sure that He will be faithful to instruct you in His ways and in His wisdom. That's wisdom. Ask, and your heavenly Father will give generously to you. He will give you His wisdom about how to be a godly son or daughter. And His answer will never, ever, ever include permission to sin. His answer will never, ever, ever include permission to ignore any of His commands, no matter how enticing doing so might be to us. Just look at verse 10. This is the verse that comes right after our passage. Solomon is warning against a life of sin. And he says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." And so, if your mother and father were not worthy teachers of godly wisdom, don't consent to the temptation to hold on to your pain and anger because of your mother or father's sin. And why? Because one of the key elements of the wisdom of God is grace. Forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Forgive as Christ has forgiven you. And so as people who reverently fear God, He calls us to holiness all the time. 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16 says this, "But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" And so what does all this mean today as you contemplate your mother? Well, it means this, that regardless of who your mother was or your father, regardless of how they might have hurt you, God's commands still remain. Their faithlessness does not nullify any of God's commands or His faithfulness or His example of grace. And so just think about it like this. Does the fact that even Christians covet nullify the commandment not to covet? Does the fact that many of us struggle with idols in our lives make the first two commandments about having no idols or worshiping any other gods go away? Does the adultery that's rampant in our culture reduce the sanctity of marriage in God's eyes? Or is the fifth commandment to honor our fathers and mothers, is it overruled by our parents' ungodly behavior and character? Does their sin give us license to disobey God's absolute command? Does it mean that we're justified in dishonoring them? You see, the bottom line has to do with our reverence for God as sons and daughters. It has to do with our faith in Him, not what your parents did or who they were. Even if you're blessed with a nearly perfect mother, and you rightfully and thankfully have nothing but warm feelings for her, really, that's not the real reason that you should honor her. No matter who our mothers are, we honor them because to do so honors God. We honor our mothers today because of our reverent fear of the Lord. Worldly wisdom says that a dishonorable person should not be honored. But the wisdom of God says that we honor our mothers no matter who they are. The wisdom of God says that none of His commands are nullified. And that's why you need the wisdom of God. You need the wisdom of God to honor your mother, because I guarantee you this, she is a sinner. You need God's wisdom given freely to you whenever you ask, whenever you seek Him in the pages of your Bibles or on your knees in prayer. And by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, God will help you to be holy as He is holy. He will give you the understanding and guidance you need to become instruments of His grace, instruments of His mercy and steadfast, never-ending love and His never-ending faithfulness. And so that's our second point. God has given our mothers and fathers the role to be teachers of His wisdom. And as such, even when they fall short, it does not give us the excuse to consent to sin. We are still called to honor God by honoring our mothers and fathers. And so now we can turn to verse 9 and see our third and final point. And this is the reward of wisdom, which is joy in the Lord. Verse 9 says, "For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." That is the result of hearing and heeding your God-fearing parents' instruction and teaching is celebration and joy. Do you hear that, kids? The reward of listening to your parents is celebration and joy. And here's why. It's because they're teaching you to fear God. And the ultimate consequence of serving God is always joy. This is what happens when everybody in the family truly loves and serves the Lord. Pastor John Piper, you may be familiar with him, he explains it like this in one of his blog postings on desiring God. He says, "What this verse makes plain is that the instruction of fathers and the teaching of mothers rooted in the fear of the Lord is good news. Kids don't always feel that. Sometimes parents have never grown up into grace enough to feel it either. But that's what the verse says. Hearing a father's instruction and not forsaking a mother's teaching will be like gifts and prizes around your neck. In other words, it'll mean triumph and celebration and joy." And the beautiful thing is that when we as believers obey God, even when our mothers and fathers are not serving God, joy still comes. Nobody can steal the joy of the Lord away from us when we obey God. Honoring God always brings joy, even when it's hard to do, and perhaps most especially when it's hard to do. Paul said in Ephesians 6:2 that the fifth commandment is the first one with a promise. The promise was this, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And so honoring our parents is a way to honor God. And the promise for us in that is joy. Joy in the Lord. And here's something of what joy in the Lord looks like. Psalm 1 says this. This is the way the whole book of Psalms begins. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. There is a person who knows the joy of the Lord. And so how can we be godly sons and daughters? Well, first, we need the solid foundation of the wisdom of God, which comes through our reverential fear of God, when we recognize Him as the true Father of all wisdom. And secondly, God calls on mothers and fathers to be His teachers of wisdom. That's the role that they have. But even when they fall short, we sons and daughters are called to rely on the wisdom of God as we strive to honor them, because to do so is to honor God. And third, as God's wisdom teaches us by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit to honor our mothers and fathers, we receive the great and awesome reward of joy. And so as we get ready now to head for home or out to a nice meal with your mother, with our mothers, as we do that, we can turn to a little story about our Lord that we find in the Gospel of Luke, and we can just let it resonate with us as we honor Mom today. At the end of Luke chapter 2, Jesus is 12 years old, and his parents lose track of him. And this is because they're on their annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, and there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people in Jerusalem. And they search for him, get this, for 3 days. So you can imagine how Mom and Dad must have felt. And finally they find him in the middle of the temple with all the teachers. And he's amazing everybody with his questions and his answers. But you know, Mom, she's a little upset. She's fretted for 3 days about the welfare of her son. And so, you know, she tells Jesus that, you know, why have you done this? This has been painful for us. And she says, in effect, what I think any good mother says in a situation like this, and this is my paraphrase, because I think this is the tone of what she's saying. She says, "Son, come with me right now." But you know, Jesus was right in the eyes of God to be at the temple. It's right where he was supposed to be. In verse 49, he says, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? I'm right where I'm supposed to be. This is my place, after all." But what Jesus does is he obeys his mother. He honors his mother and his father with obedience. Verse 51 says, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them." So contemplate this. The Lord of all creation submitted to his earthly parents. You see, the greater submitted even to the lesser in this case. And he honored them with his obedience. He perfectly fulfilled the fifth commandment. He heeded Solomon's proverb to hear the instruction of his mother and his father. And brothers and sisters, since he did, so should we. That's the wisdom of God. We bring honor to God when we honor our fathers and mothers out of reverence for the Lord. And let me tell you, God has the power and wisdom to show us all how to do that. And so happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Because your mother holds a place of honor in the eyes of God.